If you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. The fourth of the blood moons are coming, the 28th of this month. Amen. I will pass something along to you I thought was significant about the four blood moons. I've read part of the book, and I've heard several sermons and all this. And finally, I had someone ask the question that made sense. There were four blood moons in the last year, but do you realize there's five or six blood moons every year? Just visible in different parts of the world, depending on where you are. They didn't bother to tell you that while they're selling you them books. And actually, the guy that wrote the book, The Four Blood Moons, was the one being asked these questions on national television. And he said, don't you think it's significant that it had to do with this, 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 and this? He said, doesn't that have to do with Israeli prophecy? He said, well, yes, it's got to do with Israeli prophecy. He said, well, then why aren't they visible in Israel? Because if we see them, they ain't seeing them. We're on the other side of the world, folks. When we're seeing the blood moon, it's either daylight or dark over there, depending on when you see that blood moon. It ain't visible in Israel. You know what that means? Somebody was writing a book. That book goes over there with 88 reasons why the Lord's going to come in 1988. I know some of y'all mad at me right now because your favorite TV preacher preached it. But let me tell you what he said when the guy asked him that question. He said, I don't know. And I'm sitting there going, I know. He ain't going to be back on your TV program. Glory. Come on, church. See, I done messed up some of y'all. Y'all was all up on them blood moons because some of you talked to me about them. But church, let's face it. Let's get something significant. What's in this book? Let's get a hold of this and dig. See what's happening here. And then we understand that we're living in the last day and we ain't got to have somebody try to peel us into it to sell a book. Come on, church. Amen. But you know what lets me know more than anything else we're in the last day? The falling away I see in the church of people who are no longer dedicated to God, dedicated to His love, dedicated to His word, who are running around God instead of running to God, who are all the time asking, what can I do and still make it to heaven? And still, what have I got to do to get there? And we're living in a world where we got people writing off everything. You can find a church right now and tell you everything you do is okay, long as you go to church. But that ain't true. I don't care what you say, this book still stands. And this book tells me there are some things you can't do. I don't care where you go to church and make it to eternity. Glory. And it's just as wrong to do some things than it is to do others. And we got people pointing their fingers at folks going, oh, look what they're doing. And if you'll look at them, they're doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And the reality is every one of us needs to take a check and say, wait a minute, where am I on where I want to be with God and where I need to be with God? And where am I in context with what God's trying to do in my life? And because of that, we have created a drought of spirituality in America. Real, true Christianity doesn't exist in a lot of places. Only 20% of this country is going to go to church this morning. Out of that 20%, according to most surveys, only about 4% of them are actually dedicated, born-again children of God. Some of y'all look at me and say, preacher, look, I may have most of them in this building. I don't know. But let's ask you this. Do you get up every morning and pray? Do you get up every morning and read the Bible? If not, then you're one of the ones I'm talking to. You're not dedicated to God. You're not dedicated to what God wants to do in your life. And because of that, there's a famine in your life. You're having financial problems. You're having spiritual problems. You got social problems. And you keep running down here saying, I got to have a fix. It's not a fix. You need to get fixed yourself. And that's what everything we've been doing this year is about. It is about getting our mind transformed so that God can begin to move in our lives like He wants to. And when He does, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and blessings are going to be poured out. Amen. And we're going to be able, even in the drought, see a move of God. Come on, church. Amen. Listen to what it tells me in the 7th verse, 17th chapter, 1 Kings. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. For behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto Elijah. Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask God that you would reach down and touch, move on us with your power, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Now, notice this, church. We live in a day where there is a great drought. Many people in the church are in a famine of even greater proportion for the blessings of God. It is as if God himself has left you and you are all ready to quit. But it is time that we declare the famine is over. It's time we declare that God is still on the throne. It's time some of us realize that if we would let God loose in our life, he said, let God arise, and what's going to happen? Your enemies shall be scattered. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? My Bible tells me one of the greatest problems we have is how we think. Amen. I don't know if you understand it or not, church, but we are products of how we think. People are in poverty, or they're not there because they can't do better. They're there because they couldn't do no better. If you gave them $1 million, they'd be right back in poverty because they don't understand a thing about money, how to do anything with it. They sit around, oh, I'm going to try to get there. Y'all may not believe the hundreds of people in this world are going broke trying lottery tickets because they think they're going to hit the big one. Glory. Lottery tickets are not the answer to your problem. If there's somebody sitting on the sound of my voice, you've been gambling and putting money in lottery tickets, quit. You are never going to get rich doing stupid stuff. Well, preacher, I don't call gambling stupid stuff. I know that the Indians don't either, but they were offering us $254 million that they've got extra in less than 10 years of running a casino in Alabama. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but if they got $254 million laying around, they can just give the state of Alabama. They ain't no telling how many billions they got in the bank. And they're just doing it because they want to open up some more casinos and make more money. And we got folks in our churches going, oh, if I could just get down there, I could get blessed. No, if you'd sell out to God and quit playing with this world, you can be blessed. Please don't make me have to crank up my car like I did last week. Y'all got real quiet on me when I was talking about working last week. Glory. I thought I was going to have to scoot out the side door. Amen. But church, the reality is we're dependent on the things of the world to solve our problems. Amen. It is not going to happen because we hit a lottery. You hit the lottery. Do you realize that most of the people who win a lottery go broke within several months later? They lose all their friends, have to move from where they live, because the minute they get that money, everybody thinks they ought to give them some. So they lose everybody with their friends. They have to move to get away from everybody they know. And then they blow every bit of that money and go broke and end up back down there buying lottery tickets. Going, oh, I need the big one. Oh, well, preacher, that's not gambling. Yes, it is. And then we got people going to casinos, coming up bragging about how much money they won. But they don't tell you after they pay the taxes and stuff how much was left. And then after that, they turn around and lose everything they got. I remember a guy used to lay brick for my father-in-law. He had 6 trucks, 5 crews. Man, he was tearing it up, making all kind of money, putting down brick. He got to betting on dogs. Next thing you know, he's talking about all the money he won. Bought him another house in Utah so he could move down near the track. It wasn't long till he lost everything he had. He was laying brick for another man at so much an hour, he didn't even have a wife anymore because she left him because he lost everything. And he keeps running down that dog track. If I can just hit big, I can get it all back. And he just kept losing till he couldn't even keep his job. And that's where we are in this world. We get hung up on the idea, that's my answer. My answer is not in the things of this world. My answer is in a God who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and a God that said, if you will just obey me and trust me and follow me, even when everything in the world is going downhill, I will bless you. Glory. Listen, our theme for the year, at Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't sell out to what this world can do for you. It is not your answer. Hello? But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Get rid of the stinking thinking that has caught most of us to the point we're at. Hello? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's going to happen? Then you'll be able to understand that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for yourself. And anybody don't understand, if you're getting God's will for yourself and you're serving God and he's satisfied with you, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You know, what are you talking about? He said, you see the birds? If I take care of them, how much more am I going to take care of you? If I can put the flowers to make you like them and I can create everything to make people just love them, then I can do the same thing with you. If you'll just sell out to me and let me have control of your life. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, notice what happened. Let's look at the story. First of all, there's a famine going on. Who made the famine? Elijah. He prayed, God, shut up the heavens. And all of a sudden, he shut them up. Now the problem is he's got to live with the very famine he prayed down. There's no rain. Everything's drying up. Everything's dying. And he thinks he's got it made because in the first six verses, Elijah the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself at the brook Cherith, there before Jordan. And it shall be that they shall drink of the brook that I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he sent out and did according unto the word of the Lord. And he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And they drank of the brook. Hey, man, he prays. There ain't no water. God said, go down by this brook. I'm going to take care of you. He goes down. He's got water to drink. Every day he's got birds bringing him food. Glory. Now, this is my story. I can tell the way I want to. But I think that every time they cooked a hamburger for Ahab over at the palace, them birds would steal it and take it to Elijah. He's getting a Big Mac or a Whopper every day, in the morning and in the afternoon. That's meat and bread. That's a hamburger. If you want to see it in German style, it's called a Fleischkäse. And since they invented them, that's the original hamburger. If you ever get up around North Dakota, you can buy them. That's hamburger meat fried in a patty where it looks like a fried pie. Amen. That's how they cooked them in a place called Hamburg, Germany. That's why we call them hamburgers. Little lesson won't cost you nothing. Glory. Amen. Smile. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I just got a lot of information up there folks don't really like. Amen. But that's the truth. Amen. But now notice something. He's sitting there. He's got food. Everything's going good. Now, church, how many of you understands if God wanted to, that creek would have never run dry. Those birds would have never quit bringing food. And then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. Why? Because God's ready to show Elijah something he ain't ever seen before. It's one thing for God to give you a brook and a bird bringing you food, but it's another to make you leave that brook and leave that place where the birds know where you are and trust God enough to go somewhere where the famine is just as bad or worse than it was where you were at. And all of a sudden God said, I want you to go to Zarephath. I want you to go to a place where I've got a widow woman go to take care of you. First of all, how many of you understand most widow women ain't got a whole lot unless the husband was rich, and I can see Elijah walking off in that brook going, man, she must be loaded. He must have had New York life, several interests, could have been in the stock market because by now the stock market shot in the drought. Glory. Hello. But in his mind, he's going to some lady that is loaded, and she's probably running the whole neighborhood because she got all the money, and she's going to take care of him, and he loads up, and he's walking towards Zarephath, and the farther he goes, the worse it looks. There's not flowers. There's dead carcasses of animals laying around. There's no grass because it ain't rained. He's going down the road in dust. Headed to this lady's house, and he gets there, and he sees this little old woman out there, knob-kneed, almost gone, emaciated, digging around in some sticks. And he said, hey, I'm thirsty. I can tell you she's not a modern Church of God woman. She just said, go get your own water. There ain't much in that well, but I'm not going down there to it to get it for you. Hello? See, some of y'all don't understand, but every well in the Middle East is dug 30 steps down back in a hole so the water don't evaporate. And you got to go down them 30 steps, get the water, bring it back up, give it to this preacher. And notice something. She's been eating skimpy ever since this drought hit. He's been eating good. She's emaciated, knob-kneed, about wore out, and he's walking up. Hey! Let's face it, church, in a famine, I'll last longer than most of y'all. I'm worse than a camel. I got some stuff built up. Lord. He turned around. He said, hey, why are you going to get me some water? Bring me some bread back. She said, I ain't got no bread. I got a handful of meal and a little bit of oil, and I got these two stinking sticks because that's all I'm going to need to cook what I got. I'm fixing to go back. I'm going to cook this. Me and my boy are going to eat and die. He said, okay. What kind of preacher is that? He don't even seem to have compassion over the fact the woman's going downhill. And then I found out what denomination he was. I don't know about Baptist or Methodist preacher, but I know Church of God folks. Our preachers are eaters, just like most of y'all are. Church of God is a lost tribe of Israel. They're called the Edomites. And we don't have a meat and we don't eat. Hey, we've even got people cooking now for the food bank. So if you come and park, you get to eat. Don't just give out food. We got somebody cooking for us every week. We had lasagna one time. Sometimes we have chili or soup. Sometimes you just eat cookies. But we have something. Glory. Because we're Church of God. We're going to eat. And all of a sudden she said, I got just enough meal. He don't have any compassion. He said, okay. Well, yeah, by the way, while you're doing that, go ahead and cook that thing and bring it to me. Oh, I know for sure she ain't Church of God now. I can see her with a modern woman touch. I done told you I got enough, me and my boy. We going to eat and die. Well, you want it? You want us to go ahead and die so you can eat? Look at you. Look at you. You fat. You're well preserved here. Be politically correct. You're fluffy. We almost dead. We ain't got nothing but a little meal left. Church, I don't know if y'all realize it or not. Some of y'all think you broke. You broke when you out digging around for two sticks. Because that's all you got is what two sticks will cook. Honey, I don't know about y'all, but that's broke. Some of y'all ain't never been there. I have. I've never been broke to the point I couldn't get back up, but I've been so badly bent, I'd begin to wonder if I ever was going to get up. Glory. None of y'all have ever wrote faith checks either, have you? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Glory. I've never bounced one, but I've had to have God help me because I wrote them not knowing if it's going to make it there or not. Glory. None of them's ever bounced. God's been good to me, but there's been times I wondered. I mean, we were so broke one time, Frida called me on Sunday afternoon excited because she won a door prize, could pay the kids to eat lunch that week. Come on. See, actually, some of y'all are now, preacher, I couldn't help it. It had been Christmas. I was broke. I'm headed to preach at a new church. Ain't got a clue what's going to happen. I'm just trusting God. Hello? I got to that new church. It had only been in effect since September. This is January. New church. I show up on Sunday morning. They got 300 people in church. Pastor bragging about how good his church is and how they give. They take up the offering for the church expenses. I'm sitting there going, I got to go to prayer conference this week. I'm broke. I'm preaching. You didn't take an offering up for me. We go all day long. He talking about everybody wasn't there. We got back to church that night. Crowd showed up. He don't take up offering at all. He just turns it over to me, and I preach. And after I get through preaching, he walks up, and we have an altar service. And there's 300 people there, and we're down to about 60. And he said, well, it's time to take up offering. I'm like, dude, everybody's gone. I didn't say that, but I'm thinking it. Because all I could think was, I'm not even going to get enough money to pay my gas, much less help me out, and I'm broke. I got to stay in the motel this week to book revivals, and I'm required to be here. He said, the Lord put it on my heart, a certain amount of money. I'm going to give the first 100. I need 14 other people to walk up here with me. I turned around, and every one of them walked up there. One of the men walked over and said, I'm glad God did that. The Lord told me I'd give you $1,500 whether we got it or not. And he said, now they give it, I won't have to go out there and get my bank account. Glory. Amen. It ended up like $1,700, I got that Sunday morning, Sunday night from that little old church. Amen. I never get a call for Ida. She said, you didn't get the money? I said, no, the clerk was sick. He's playing with you. You ain't never going to get that money. Monday he called. He said, there's the sick. They all got a virus now. I'm not going down there to get the check. Can you wait another day? I said, well, I might as well. I got no choice. I called her. She said, I told you, you ain't never going to get that money. I called her the next morning. I said, hey, Frieda, I didn't get no check. I told you. I said, God brought cash. Went with me to the bank, put it in the bank. It's in the bank, every dime of it. Amen. Praise God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's the way God functions. Amen. I was in a famine. I didn't have. But I've got a God that said, hey, if you'll just sell out to me and serve me, I'll take care of you. Doesn't matter if it's got to be a little widow over at Zarephath. Doesn't matter what it's going to be. I'll find somehow, some way to get to you what you need if you're sold out to me. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We've got people in this church that's in a famine of blessings. They've lost the blessings of God, and part of it is because they keep waiting on something besides what they see in front of them to bless them. Could you say amen? Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of us have the problem that we have a poverty mentality. It's the way we think. Oh, I ain't got nothing. Well, see, the reason you ain't got nothing, even if God blesses you, you buy stuff you want and then beg for the things you need. That's a poverty mentality. That's why you ain't never going to have nothing. God can't trust you with nothing, so he ain't going to give it to you, because you'd be sticking in a bank somewhere bragging about how much you had, or go buy a bunch of junk you ain't got to have. I don't know why I'm making folks mad, but I'm preaching the truth. And some of you need to wake up and realize if God sent you a boat, you'd gripe because you didn't like the color of the boat, and you'd just stay up there. But I got news for you, church. God's trying to bless some folks, but he can't trust us with what he gives us because we don't use it for what he wants us to use it for. I've always believed God will give to you whatever he can get through you. But if you hoarding it up, it ain't going to keep coming. Come on, church. Amen. You got to get a river flowing. And when you do, God will make sure that everything you need is going to be provided by his kingdom. He said, my God shall provide your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That I know to be a fact. I know God will take care of you. He will give you some of the things you want, but he will not make you a millionaire to lord over everybody else about what you got. If he gives you $1 million, he expects you to share it with everybody else you run into, and the more you share, the more he'll pour. Now I've lost the other side. Glory. All you middle class folks, hang with me. Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. Preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. That is the way God functions. God gives us because he wants us to bless. Come on, church. Amen. And if we do that, we will never run out. We'll never go broke. That widow of Zarephath, she starts back toward the kitchen. Notice she didn't stand there and argue with him. She didn't remind him. She didn't have enough meal. She took what meal she had. She baked the single cake she could cook, carries it back out to him on the way to bake the cake. He looked at her and he said, by the word of the Lord, that barrel will never run out. That cruise will never run out. It will always be enough. Not a full barrel. Come on, church. I heard a guy preaching on it and said she cooked back there with a 50-pound bag of meal. No, it wasn't. Because had it been, she'd have had to open up a kitchen and feed the whole country. That's what God would have blessed her for. But every time she went to the barrel, there was always enough meal for another cake, enough oil to cook it in, always enough meal for the... Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all need to wake up and realize we're serving God. The famine is over. The drought may still be going on, but I got a God that will... What are you talking about, preacher? The drought didn't disappear. It was still going on. Her neighbors were still dying. People around her were still suffering. But she had enough, because in her house, who was sold out to God, God was giving them just enough to get by, just enough to keep them going, because they were a lighthouse to a lost and dying world, that there is a God somewhere. Come on, church. There is a God that can provide. There is a God. You say, now, preacher, what good did it do? Elijah learned another lesson. But a little boy who later died, came back to life, learned enough lesson that he wrote a book in this Bible as a prophet later on. You say, what are you talking about? God was training that kid more than he was training anybody else, because he knew there was a day coming he was going to write a book that we'd read 4,000 years later. And church, some of us needs to realize the ripples we make for God right now by standing up when everything's going wrong and saying, wait a minute, I'm serving God, and whatever I got, God can provide my way and take care of. I got a handful. Who cares? A handful is more. Listen, some of y'all keep worrying about what you lost. Let me point something out to you. Somebody that tweets might want to tweet this. I don't tweet. I have a hard enough time speaking. Glory. Actually, I signed up for Twitter. I got 2 tweets. Both of them was bad, so I killed the account. Some hot mama sent me something. Glory. I'm serious. I was out here in a foyer when I got it. I showed it to somebody. I went inside, got on the computer, and killed that account immediately, because I didn't want no hot mama sending me nothing. Glory. I don't even know how she got in it. I don't know if it was a joke, and it might have been, but it got me off Twitter. But you might want to tweet this. Your blessing is not in what you lost. If you keep looking for a blessing in what you lost, you're never going to get it. Your blessing is what you got left. God never takes away from you your blessings. They're there. You just got to take hold of them and realize what you got. Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? She had a handful of meal. But that handful of meal was more than enough, because for several weeks or months later, they're still eating on that little meal, because it never ran out. It never went away. It was always enough for another cake, enough for another meal. Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? I see a little boy coming up to hear a sermon one day. He ain't got nothing but a couple of biscuits and some sardines, and they end up feeding 5,000 people, because what he had in his hand was more than enough to do what God wanted to do with it. I see a man with a jawbone of an ass in his hand. He's got nothing else to fight with, going against an army full of trained soldiers armed to the teeth, and he kills 1,000 of them with a jawbone of an ass, because I got a God that takes what's in his hand and does something with it. I understand that if I hold out for God, I've not got to worry about what's going on around me. They may fall on the right, they may fall on the left, but as long as I'm serving him, it shall not come nigh unto me, for the weapon formed against me is going to prosper while I'm serving the God I serve. Glory. Listen, church, this is not about prospering, it's about priority. He said, cook me the cake first. If you put God first, you'll always have enough. It's a principle of God. That woman sitting there, and he says, do this. Now, there's 2 ways of thinking about it. Bless God, I ain't feeding that preacher. He got more than I do. Hello? You ever seen people check out the evangelist vehicle before they give an offering? That's why I never would buy a Mercedes. I knew them offerings would have dropped in them revivals if I bought a Mercedes. Glory. I could have drove an old one up and they'd go, hey, still got a Mercedes. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, she could have took that attitude. But you know what? I believe she took the attitude, we just going to eat it and die anyway. What's the big deal? I'll feed the preacher. Maybe he can go somewhere and preach and the revival will break out. Glory. That's the spiritual ideology. I'm going to take my chances. Worst can happen. I'm going to get to the place quicker. Come on, church. Amen. Notice. She understood. Seek ye first the kingdom of God his righteousness, and all these things shall then be added unto you. Whew. Early in the morning, I will seek thee. You know what the scripture says? Some of y'all can't do that unless you do it in your dreams. And some of you wake up with a phone in your hand. I've never understood how people post stuff at night on Facebook and you got to get up and see what it was. I maintain, and I know some of y'all fixing to get mad at me again, but if everybody in this church was as wild after God as y'all after them phones, they ain't no telling what kind of move of God we'd see in this place. Glory. Amen. Smile. That's pretty good stuff. Y'all can tweet that too. Glory. Amen. Glory. Listen, it was more about the priority than it was the prosperity. It wasn't so much that God was going to prosper her. It was the fact she put God first, and she didn't care whether she was prospered or not. Church, when I give, I'm not giving to get back. My Bible said if you give for a blessing, then you've already been blessed. If the only reason you give is to get, you're not giving for the right reason. If the only reason you're serving God is because what God can do for you, you're here for the wrong reason. I serve God if God never blesses me, if God never touches me again, if I'd never make it to an eternity and there wasn't a heaven promised to me, I just thank God for the peace, the power, and the joy that I have felt in this world that is greater than anything I ever had in my life. And if I could just keep living in it down here, that's one thing I need more than anything else. I'm not worried about what I'm going to get. I'm worried about what I can give to the one who gave everything for me. I'm more worried about what he can do with me than what I'm going to have done to me. Well, preacher, you just don't understand the principle of priority. If you don't master it on the small scale, you'll never master it on the large scale. Hello? If you can't be faithful in the small things, he can't trust you in the large things. Some of us aren't millionaires because God's afraid what would happen. We wouldn't need to go to church. I mean, we got money. We ain't got to be in church. We get sick, we can pay our way out. Huh? Church, do you realize there are things God does for you money can't provide? There ain't enough money in the world to get you healings, and some things God can heal you of if you're serving him. Come on, church. Smile at me. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about serving a God that's got things that goes on money can't help you with, and all the money in the world won't help you when that happens, but I got a God that can take care of it. Come on, church. Hey, man, you say, what are you talking about? All the money in the world couldn't have got that woman to give up that cake for her and her boy, but God did it, and in doing so, he provided for them and kept them and gave them and brought that man out to be a prophet for Israel. Church, what are you talking about? It's time some of us realize, though there's a drought in this country, the famine does not have to be in our house. The famine does not have to be in our lives. We've got to get a priority that God's number one. God's the only way, the only truth, the only life. If you want to get rid of something in your life, turn your head toward God. It's all in or nothing. But if you'll sell out to God, I got a God that'll open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings you cannot contain. They'll be pressed down and running over. Notice what he said in Malachi chapter 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house, and provide. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings that you cannot, there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer. Church, you can't have some things because you got something eating up everything you got. Every time you get joy, something tears it up. Every time you have peace, something wakes you up in the middle of the night and make you worry some more. Why? Because the devourer's eating at your life, gnawing at you, pulling at you, trying to tear you apart. But God said, if you'll sell out to me, I'll rebuke the devourer. Hey, man, you say, preacher, does that work? Let God arise, and your enemies shall be scattered. When God begins to come up into you, there is nothing that can stand against the power that's in you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you sell out to God, you can overcome anything. When you sell out to God, you can defeat anything. When you sell out to God, there is nothing God can't do for you. Could you say amen? You'll be blessed in the city. Deuteronomy said it this way, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. Notice what it said. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. What does that mean? You sell out. To observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be the fruit of the body, blessed shall the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the cattle, the increase of the kind, the flock to the sheep, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, blessed shall be thee when they come in. Blessed are thou when thou goest out. For the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. For the Lord shall command the blessed upon them and in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand to do. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. I'm New Testament. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. If I follow God's commandments, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, I got to believe my God is going to pour out power and blessings and anointing in me no matter what's going on in the world. Preacher, I don't believe it. Church, when I stumbled into the Church of God at Bew, I had no reason to believe God would ever do anything with me. I didn't know anything about a Bible. Only thing I could do was quote stuff somebody told me. I had a Bible given to me. I actually have that Bible that was given to me when I was in the third grade by Gideon. I don't know why everybody thinks everybody in the world's got a Bible now, but realize Gideons can't give Bibles out in school anymore. So your kids, there are a lot of people coming up in the world ain't never had a Bible in their hand. Don't know nothing about it. But even though I had a Bible, I never read it that much. I heard people quote stuff in Sunday school. I was so dumb when I got saved, they would tell me stuff like, how many animals did Moses take on the ark? And I'd argue with them. Because I didn't realize Moses wasn't the one who had the ark. They thought it was funny. I was stupid. See, some of y'all wouldn't admit that. But when it come to Bible, I didn't have a clue. It's amazing that 3 months later, I stand in a pulpit trying to preach a sermon. 16 pages of type notes, and in 4 minutes, I done. Made up some stuff. Glory. Trying to make it longer. But in that 3 months' time, I blew away an addiction to alcohol, to drugs, and to cigarettes because I fell out and fell in love with God so bad. Amen. You say, now, preacher, The great thing that could ever happen this past spring was when you brought a young man who was in that church when I got saved to speak at my pastor appreciation. And you remember what he said about me? When I got saved, what did I do? I went all in. It was God or nothing. I didn't turn back because I had no choice. There was nothing behind me. There was nothing could help me. There was nothing back there but trouble and horror and pain. I got a hold of God and I said, this is my only way. This is my only truth. This is my only life. And can I tell you, 40 years later, it's still the only way, the only truth, the only life. There is nothing I need in this world but him. But in him I live and move and have my being and by him. The famine is over. Stand with me all over the house. I believe with all my heart that God sent me here because some of you are bound by mentalities. The first battle you have to win to serve God's in your head. And until you let your mind go to God, you will never change your life. When God begins to take over, And you begin to hide that word in your heart. You begin to let God move in you. It doesn't matter where you are right now. It's where God wants you to be. And when you sell out to God, your famine will be over. Well, preacher, God's going to solve all my problems. I didn't promise you that. He didn't say you'd be a multimillionaire. He said, I just will provide. I'll take care. I'll make it happen. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, for your presence, for your power. God, I know you can break the bondage, the chains that are binding people in this building right now. You said it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. God, would you help us today? Help us today, God.